from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
No Ayuk, no Trent. In fact, wanted to go through what we think are some of the top non-hold-in, hold-out contractual stories that are facing the 49ers as they get ready to start this season. And there are a number that actually very, very much pique my interest. I don't know how you feel about all these, but 888-957-9570. You're welcome to share some of yours or react to some of the ones we've got out. Let me throw one out. You had a little list. I've got a little list. Here's one that I know is big to both of us. And that is that right now, as we sit here today, without fully knowing all the answers, the draft looks like it might have been really good. I can just genuinely tell you, I am very, very excited to see how some of these rookies contribute. And let me add this on as well. Of all the rookies that we talk about and we're looking forward to, because of the way football fandom works, and we get into the skill positions more than the other positions usually. Right now, one of the names I'm really, really looking at is Jacob Cowing. I think he's going to be a player that we talk about by the time it gets to week 10, 11, 12. That's going to be a dude. That especially when you add in the disruption that's currently going on with the starting group at that position.
Yeah, it could be exciting. And he's a player who, you know, he's still a little behind, but can he catch up over the course of a couple of weeks? And how much does the Brandon Ayuk hold in affect his ability to step up and play? If Ayuk doesn't ever make it in, or if he makes it in late, yeah, you might need Cowing ahead of Pearsall early on. And you look at the depth chart of the wide receiver room, and a lot of guys didn't quite make the cut today. Ronnie Bell did, Chris Conley did, but Cowing's a guy who's looked good enough and made some plays in that last preseason game that have you excited. For me, it's Malik Mustafa, and he's been the one early on. I think he made the earliest splash in camp, and a couple times I've been out there in camp, you see the way he's just built. He's an absolute fire hydrant, and he's out there looking for content, lighting people up. And he's been somebody who, just watching him with the eye test, he looks like somebody who thinks he's a 5 or 6 year vet. A little bit of the Poughkeepsie kid, Brandon Podziemski, you know, where Mustafa out there acting like he's somebody who not only belongs, but somebody who fits in and feels like he's been a part of the fabric for a long time. So I look forward to seeing what he can do at safety, especially while Hufanga tries to work his way back from injury.
Well, and let me add this, because there's been a lot of positive sort of, you know, media with regard to Mustafa recently with Jacob Cowing, who I just mentioned. The late picks, Jarrett Kingston didn't make the team. You know, Tatum Bethune was a seventh round pick. But if you look at the rest of the guys, obviously the one who's gotten the most positive press so far is Dominic Pooney. Okay, he comes out of the third round, and Brian Baldinger, I think, wants to move in with him. He's talked to him, talked about him so much, and he's putting video content out about a right guard. So there's a lot of positivity there. Renardo Green, same thing. Let me add this. Don't give up on Ricky Pearsall yet. Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I know you're not, but literally, we had a texter earlier today listing off first round misses by the Niners, and you put Ricky Pearsall in there. You're gonna leave Ricky Pearsall before the season even started?
That's crazy.
I still think Ricky Pearsall could end up being fantastic. Now, the other thing, though, and maybe this is to swing it the other direction, even the guys you've decided in the preseason and in camp are fantastic, they might stink. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who actually played the game, and they're like, dude, there are players that when the lights come on, their lights go off. Absolute practice studs. And then the games start, and the speed goes up, and the intensity goes up, and the attention goes up, and they just don't have it anymore. So I'm sold on no one, but excited about many of them.
Right. Yeah, I think excited by the three we named, the four we named most particularly, and Ricky Pearsall is the one, the first round pick, who you've got the highest hopes for, but with the shoulder and him also being a little bit behind, you know, his impact might be second half of the year, and it might not be until next year. We don't know. Dominic Pooney has the best chance in week one to make an impact. It looks like he's going to be starting at right guard.
Yep.
And so of all the rookies, he might be the only one who truly starts. And I know formation and, you know, Hutch made that point about, you know, Cowing might actually be in the starting lineup if you go to a three wide receiver set right away. So technically he would be a starter, but you look at Pooney and you think, yeah, you're going to be our right guard, and we're expecting you to be there for all 17.
By the way, I also want to add real quick with me mentioning Bethune in the seventh round. He did make the team. Kingston's the only draft pick who did not make the team with this initial roster. Yeah, Grandy,
that's
what's
exactly
up?
What I was going to say. Seventh round pick, sorry. This year, Tatum Bethune. But, he made it essentially over last year's seventh round pick, Jalen Graham, who did not make the team. That was kind of a surprise. I mean, a seventh round pick this year makes it over a seventh round pick last year who has a whole year's worth of experience.
Right. I mean, like at a minimum, while I don't want to put a green check next to any pick until we see actual NFL games, that's got to say something that almost the entire draft made the team. That's got to be something, right? Now, your early picks automatically are going to make the team. But, like, your late picks kind of made it, too. Cowing, now, you didn't have any fifth rounders. Your sixth rounder got cut. But your seventh rounder made it. And your fourth rounders all made it. And they made it at premium positions where you had to let go of some pretty experienced people to keep you on the team. Eli Mitchell, season-ending IR, keeping Garendo. You know, Jacob Cowing out of the fourth round. Like, they're going to get rid of an experienced person like Robbie Chosen. They're going to get rid of a homegrown player like Danny Gray. And you're on the team. And by the way, there was never even any question about that. So, I don't know. That says something about the draft.
Now, I think it says something about last year's draft because
totally fair.
Jalen Graham, and I'm just looking at the numbers, last year he played 58 total plays all on special teams. He did not play even a single snap on defense, and Danny Gray's not listed in any snap counts. I don't think that Danny Gray played at all last year, so it's maybe more of a reflection of previous drafts. Yeah, this draft seems to be better. You've got guys who you took and you were excited to keep them over previous years, like Cameron Latu, another guy who, you know, was unable to get on the field. He was drafted last year. And he was cut today as well. So, yeah, this year's draft, it looks like you have better players, but compared to the last couple of drafts that were bad.
Well, last year, okay, hold on. Can you do that yet?
Well, you can look at a player that you drafted in the third round and he never played for you and you cut him.
Yes.
That is a bad pick.
All right, let me go through the picks last year. Okay. Round three, Jair Brown.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Okay.
It's a good pick.
Round three, Jake Moody.
Yeah, it's a good pick. No, I like Jake Moody.
Okay.
He's got a big leg, and last year he was, you know, a little bit up and down, but he, I think, is trending toward being a good kicker.
You can
debate the merits of using a third-round pick on a kicker if you want, but they like the player, and they've kept the player.
Okay, round three, Cameron Latu.
That's a miss. Yeah.
All right, next. Round five, Daryl Luter Jr.
Yeah, he looks to be a guy that you're
on the team,
and you're already thinking about maybe giving him a second contract. He might be somebody who survives if you can't afford to pay D'Amador Lenore and Mooney Ward. He might be the guy, the heir apparent. So, yeah, it's a good pick.
Round five, Robert Beal Jr. on the team.
Okay.
I know a lot of people don't know who that is. He's on the team. He made the roster today.
Yep. Played 79 total snaps last year, yeah. 39 on D, 40 in special teams. The jury's still out.
Round six, D Winters on the team and has generated some buzz.
Yep. Good special teamer last year. He played more than half of the special team snaps, so the jury's still out.
Round seven, Braden Willis.
Okay.
Cut today.
Yep.
And round seven, Ronnie Bell on the team.
For now. On the team-ish.
Right. But like,
maybe. Would you think he'll be in uniform on Monday in 13 days?
Probably not, but we're talking about a seventh rounder.
Right, but you can't champion Brock Purdy and then dismiss Ronnie Bell.
Well, no.
The seventh round picks.
Well, no.
Picks are picks.
No, I don't agree with that statement. You can champion Brock Purdy, but still have the same expectation level for seventh round picks, which is not much. Like, I'm not expecting you to go get starters in the seventh round on an annual basis just because of Brock Purdy. Like, yeah, you threw a Hail Mary and you caught it. Great. But I'm not going to now on the annual be like, dude, you better crush it with your round seven picks.
No, but at the same time, if, you know, you can't look at first round picks that you traded away and those turn out to be misses because you never got to use a player. And that's when you traded up to get Trey Lance. Those picks that you never got to make, those are misses. And first round misses are bigger and more important than seventh round misses.
Of course.
I guess, as we're going through this, I think that as you go further down the draft, if you hit on a Brock Purdy in the seventh, well, that's awesome. And if you miss on a Ronnie Bell, that's less than tragic because it's a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I guess I just don't call it a miss. He was picked in the seventh round and made the team now 2 years in a row. So I'm not asking for you to be a star. One other pick in that seventh round was the linebacker Jalen Graham out of Purdue, not on the team. But when I look at that, like, is there any star that came out of there? You wouldn't use that word yet, but you got a bunch of roster spots and potentially a couple starters.
Jair
Brown is a starter. And I mean, I guess Jake Moody is a quote-unquote starter.
Sure.
Winters could graduate to that here very, very soon. There is some excitement about Luter going forward. And then there's a couple other roster spots in Beal and Bell. So I'm not here to be like amazing draft, but can you pass it off as bad draft already?
Not a good draft. I mean, you didn't have a first or second round pick, and you didn't have a first round pick because you traded it away.
Because of Trey Lance.
So that goes down as a big miss. And your first pick was in the third round. And yeah, Jair Brown is a guy who stepped in and he played pretty well for you down the stretch.
I mean,
he starts again this year and plays the full year, then that's a hit in the third round.
I would argue that the draft from the year before is more a negative draft, and we're a year further away, which means we've got more answers. Obviously, everything gets overwhelmed by the fact that you found a starting quarterback. And if you told every NFL team going into a draft, you're going to blow every pick, but you're going to find a franchise QB, every GM would be like, done. Done.
Yeah, but in terms of the draft, like, of those guys in 22, how many are still on the team outside of Brock Purdy?
Burford.
Right, he's a backup.
Womack.
Okay.
Zakel. And then Kalia Davis went on
IR.
But IR designated a return.
Yes. Zakel is a guy who might still be victimized as the roster gets shuffled. And Womack's been okay. He's a backup. So if it wasn't for the Hail Mary pick of Brock Purdy, that draft would be a disaster.
I agree. That's a bad draft. Drake Jackson, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, and then, you know, whatever, when you get well over 200 picks.
Womack got waived today, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so Womack's not on the team.
Okay, Womack's not on the team anymore.
Burford cost you the Super Bowl. So there's that.
That's a tough label, bro. I get where you're coming from, but that's a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now. We'll be right back.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
I mean,
John Feliciano apparently agrees with you, but still,
yeah,
that's a hell of a label.
If he goes right instead of left,
then what?
Touchdown 49ers.
But the game's not over.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like,
that was definitely a drive-by. That's a hell of a... That was a rat-a-tat-tat. Yeah,
that's
I admit it.
Big label.
That was mean-spirited.
You cost us the Super Bowl.
I mean, he is a backup, so.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He went the wrong way.
But that draft, and you
not
can't
a great
say
draft
outside of Brock Purdy, because that's going to go down as one of the greatest picks maybe in NFL history.
I could look at that and go, actually, it's a great draft. Solely because of the 262nd pick, Brock Purdy.
Yep.
Great draft. Amazing draft.
This is where you get the homer label affixed.
Hold on.
Great pick, bad draft.
Ask any general manager. I actually don't know the answer, but wouldn't you be curious to know? Going into any single draft, and obviously these are teams who don't have a franchise QB. If I told you going into this draft, you are going to whiff on every pick, but you're going to find your franchise QB, would the GM say yes or no?
Depends.
Does it?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, depends on what the rest of your roster looks like, because there are teams that have franchise quarterbacks and
they're not very good. Okay.
Those teams are okay.
Give me who?
The Giants, they paid their guy like he's the franchise guy.
But he's not. And we all know that.
Well, they paid him like he was.
Right, and then literally...
They drafted him.
Right.
And then he was pretty good, and then they paid him.
He was okay.
I mean, he was good enough to make $40 million a year.
In their minds, I mean,
right.
Again, I'll refer you to the Belichick comment, who's like, look, don't come to me with comps from teams who do stupid things. I can't control that the Browns want to give Deshaun Watson $235 guaranteed million dollars.
Franchise quarterback.
I can't control that the Giants thought Daniel Jones was worth $40 million a year.
Arizona Cardinals used the first overall pick on Kyler Murray, franchise quarterback.
Jury's still mildly up.
Yeah, I think the jury's ready to return its verdict.
I'm with you. But like, I threw this out the other night to Ephraim. Remember what I told you we were doing our question deal? My question... My NFC West question was, is Kyler Murray good? And he just started laughing. How would you answer that?
No. Like, good. He's fine.
You're sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, he's very athletic.
Yeah.
He runs around and makes plays. But if you're asking for your quarterback to guide an offense and guide a team and win games and be... a guy in January you can rely on? No. He's a turnover machine, and there's a lot of things that he doesn't do well.
Well, he's been a crappy leader, is what I think is actually his
and
biggest problem.
And I don't think that he can win from the pocket. He's too small, and he doesn't have the downfield vision to hit the back foot and know where he's going to go.
Like, I think I'm with you, but I do leave open for some room there still, because last year he was still a player coming off of a torn ACL who relies on his legs. He still does do some dynamic things on the field. I think you could look at his skill position players and take shots at that through the last, well, quite frankly, through his whole career.
Yeah.
You know, there are still people out there, the Steelers being one of them, who think that Justin Fields was a product of having nobody good around him. And if I were Justin, how ticked would you be that you're like, you got the first pick in the draft, you drafted Caleb Williams, and oh, by the way, while you did that, you brought in Keenan Allen, you drafted Roma Dunze, you put DeAndre Swift in the backfield, DJ Moore became an absolute stud, and now you're going to do that. Where the hell was that when I was your first-round quarterback?
Yeah, it's too bad. You hate to see it.
So this year, Kyler Murray's got Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
He's got Trey McBride now, bubbling star at the tight end position.
Yeah.
It could look different.
It could, but it won't. I mean, Arizona probably 6-11, 7-10.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. Like, it's not. They're in a very difficult division. I do think.
Assuming that he survives the year, because the way he plays is, I think, conducive to injury.
See, I think he protects himself pretty well. He runs a lot, but he protects. I don't see him take a lot of hits. You know what I mean? Like, I hear that Washington is working real hard right now with Jaden Daniels on this. Like, dude, you gotta
get down.
You gotta go out of bounds, man. Yeah. Those extra 2 yards, that's a no.
Well, you saw
from
it with
us.
Richardson last year. Wow. I mean, he got the memo too late.
Way too late.
He was getting tattooed.
Yeah.
Like every play.
Week 2, people are like, this dude's good, but he's gonna be gone
he's
by
not
week
gonna
six.
Survive.
And then
nope.
He was gone by week 6. Gone. Yeah. So I get it, but yeah, like, I'm outside of Brock Purdy, I'm more down on the 2022 draft than the 2023 draft.
Yeah,
and this one feels pretty fun.
And my point was simply that this one feels better early because of the lack of real depth from the previous two drafts. And you know, you just ran through it, and you found about 6 rostered players and maybe 2 starters. 3 if you count the quarterback, and you do count the quarterback, and that's great. But the last 2 drafts, 22 and 23, were not full of hits. But if you come out this year with Garendo, who's exciting, Cowing and Pearsall, who look promising, Dominic Pooney and Renardo Green, who I think is going to be
a good
depth
player.
Piece in the secondary. If you have 5 guys in this draft who are all, and I know they have more than that on the roster, but if you have 5 who wind up in the rotation, offensively and defensively, that's a pretty good draft.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.